Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Yesterday was St. Patrick's Day. I'm guessing that while most of you aren't Irish, many of you still wore green and remembered the day. Many people around the world celebrated with parades, and even though we are in the midst of Lent, with rich food and even much beer. But how many of the people who celebrated yesterday do you think could tell you what they were celebrating? Why they were wearing green? Why March 17th? Or who St. Patrick even was or what he did? You know as well as I do that for most, it's probably just a good excuse to dress up and have a party. And who doesn't love a parade? It doesn't seem, though, that Christ and his teachings have been invited. The same could have been said of the crowds that gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate the yearly feast of the Passover. The celebration was supposed to be for parents to teach their children about the Exodus from Egypt, about the blood of the sacrificed lamb that was placed on the doorpost, and how the angel of death had passed over the firstborn sons of Israel. But the feast for many people had degenerated into a great bazaar, a reason for everyone to get together in Jerusalem and have a party. People came from everywhere, because who doesn't love a bazaar? The town swelled in size. The local economy depended upon the flood of people coming into Jerusalem. Everyone needed shelter, they needed food and drink, and they needed a sacrifice. And so the sellers of wares even set themselves up in the temple, in the holy place itself. When the real reason for the celebration is forgotten, the thing takes on a life of its own. You see it with the Passover. You see it with St. Patrick's Day. It's not insignificant that as the scene is set for St. John's account of Jesus' feeding of the 5,000, that he tells us that the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Three times in his account of the Gospel, St. John calls the Passover the feast or the Passover of the Jews. Not the feast of Christ, not the feast of the church, not the feast of believers, but the feast of the Jews. Something much more substantial was happening with Jesus than that which was taking place in the temple. Jesus was revealing that the final Passover lamb, the one that all of the other sacrifices had foreshadowed, had finally arrived. Have you ever wondered why the Christian church, after Jesus' ascension, quickly stopped celebrating the Passover? It's the same reason that the Lord allowed the Romans to destroy the temple in Jerusalem in AD 70, and that it has not ever been rebuilt. Maybe if we consider it in a different way, it will become a bit more clear. Why do the Jews today still celebrate the Passover? They're waiting for something, aren't they? We are not. The promised Savior, the true Passover Lamb, has come, and he has been sacrificed. And by his death, we have been delivered from the angel of death. The earthly temple is no longer needed because the true temple has come in the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. The animal sacrifices that were once offered on the altar in the temple that took place in the earthly temple, they are no longer necessary either. Because the final sacrifice for sin, the only one that actually was efficacious, has now taken place. The Passover of the Jews has been transformed by Jesus into a heavenly meal of true body and blood that gives forgiveness life and salvation to those who believe. That new meal helps us remember Christ's suffering and death for us and for our salvation until He comes again. Sadly, the Christian church often gets mixed up in sentimental things without understanding their purpose or meaning. Many evangelical megachurches, even some right here in Billings, have now realized that the whole contemporary worship thing really isn't working to keep the youth in the church, and that in fact it never really did. They realize now that it was shallow, that it always was shallow, that it was manipulative of emotions, and that it lacked any real substance or teaching about Jesus Christ and His Word. Many of those churches are returning to liturgical services and to a liturgical church year, following the life of Christ on earth. But since they don't know why those things are important, those things are really only the next fad. They happen to be the what's happening now. And so the church receives them for a time and will soon let them go as well. They still miss the real reason that we are gathered together. They still miss Christ. In a similar way, many Christian churches have taken up the celebration of the Passover again. They have returned to being under the law rather than living in the gospel. They kill a lamb and have a Seder meal and reenact the event. And they have no idea what they're doing or why. Even if they succeed in teaching their youth something of the Old Testament, the youth don't know the Ten Commandments or the Lord's Prayer or the Creed and what those things teach. They don't know the significance of baptism and the Lord's Supper. They don't understand the atonement. So what's the point of them knowing what a kosher Jewish meal is all about? Seder meals celebrated by Christian churches are always in danger of taking the focus off of Christ, of missing the real reason that the thing was celebrated in the first place. Even if they get the importance of the lamb and the blood on the door, it usually stops there. The incarnation and the true sacrifice is lost. They miss the person and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And it simply remains, as St. John says in this text, the Passover of the Jews. There's no question that the people of this world are looking for something that has substance, something that is real and tangible for their life, something that has depth and meaning to it. Frequently, that is found in some kind of ritual. But you have been given something much more valuable, something infinitely more important. Not some ritual that has lost its meaning, not a meal that's celebrated just once a year, but living water that creates life, true bread that has come down out of heaven, and real blood that has been shed for the forgiveness of your sins and for the life of the world. You don't need a reenactment. You have the real thing. The people of Jesus' day at the feeding of the 5,000 ate until their bellies were filled. Just like the people of Israel in the Old Testament in the wilderness as they ate the manna. They kept what remained until the morning and they misused what God had given and they became sick. These people, as their bellies are filled, try to come and make Jesus their king by force. The idea of having a king who can heal your sick who have been wounded in battle, who can feed you with next to nothing, with you not even breaking a sweat? Yeah, who doesn't like that idea of a king? But they weren't interested in a savior. The Israelites needed Jesus, but they didn't know why. They needed the bread that came down from heaven, but they grumbled about it. These Jews, those who were following Jesus, needed Jesus too, but they didn't know why. And when He would not scratch their itch and be their earthly bread king, They grumbled against him and went their own way with nothing. They kept the Passover of the Jews and completely missed the Lamb of God who was provided for them to take away their sins. Many people still have no place for a Savior, and they're only looking for someone to excite their emotions or to fill their bellies. Each year, St. Patrick's Day celebrations get bigger and bigger, and each year, church attendance drops. There's no time and no money for Christ and His teaching, but everyone loves a parade. In case you're interested, the man later known as St. Patrick was born in what is now Britain. His father was an elder, that is, in the scriptural sense, a pastor in the Christian church. At 16 years old, he was kidnapped and sold as a slave in Ireland. He escaped from that and returned home and immediately went to the seminary, and later he returned to the same pagan nation that had taken him captive in order to preach them the gospel. For almost 30 years he preached to them. He taught them about the Holy Trinity using the three-leaf clover, the shamrock, which eventually led to the wearing of green in remembrance of the teaching of the Holy Trinity that St. Patrick had done among them. On March 17th, in the year of our Lord, 461, he died and was given Christian burial in Ireland. The story of St. Patrick is not about luck. It's not about shamrocks or parties or beer. It's about Christ and His word of life being brought to the people of Ireland. Bet you didn't hear that on the news yesterday, did you? The Passover, the Exodus, the manna from heaven, the milk and honey of the promised land, and the feeding of the 5,000, these are not about bellies being filled or rituals being kept. They are not simply the reason to get together and have a party. They are each divine revelation given by God to tell everyone about His Son, Jesus Christ, who suffered and died and rose from the dead, who has taken your sins upon Himself and forgiven them. He has forgiven you for being unholy, for worrying about and being concerned with the things of this world while being disinterested about the things of God. It is to tell the world about the Son of God who has come to save you from eternal death and the fires of hell. Today you've been led to this holy place, to God's holy house, to Christ's absolution, to His font and to His altar, to receive a holy meal, not to fulfill some ritual or try to please God with your sacrifice, not to celebrate something you don't understand or remember, but to be washed and made clean and fed and to receive the living Christ. Come then, feast on the bread of heaven that has come down for your salvation. Drink the sacred blood of the Lamb and live. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.